Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Theme song.
Somebody save me. Don't care how you do it. Just say it.
Don't look. Don't react like that. Look.
Fucking hell.
I don't.
It's a terrible way to start.
I think.
We've just lost
all
mostly
listeners.
Everybody.
Listen. We've got Remy Zero, though.
That's
so
true.
They'll be on board. They're gearing up their lawyers. They're ready to sue.
Fucking hell.
Honestly, I don't think they can use the internet, so I think we'll be fine.
Are they still around?
I don't know. What's going on?
Not much. This is episode one, though, of the comicbookmovie.com podcast, The Weekly Planet, named by you.
Well, thanks, pal. would you like to hear some alternate titles?
Sure. What do you got?
Hang on. Okay. Fortress of Lolitude. There's an option.
Yep.
Good. Ridiculous. Wait, I can do this. Infinity Jauntlets.
Jauntlets.
So we go on like a jaunt.
Okay.
Like a fishing
like
trip
a merry
or something.
Jaunt. Oh.
And then we do the podcast on that. We probably don't have the budget for that.
Sounds really technical.
Okay. Wait. Let me think. Okay. The Peter Porker, the Spectacular Spider-Ham Hour, where I just talk for an hour about how much I enjoyed Peter Porker, the Spectacular Spider-Ham.
Was that... I don't even know what it's saying.
No, it's a real thing. Okay, one more. I can do one more. Podcast full of kryptonite. There we go.
That's actually a pretty good
that's,
name.
That's a sweet spin.
Maybe we should change it to that.
Ah, it's too late.
It is. We've already started.
I love it.
Let's do it. Let's get into it.
All right, let's get into it.
Hello and welcome to episode one of The Weekly Planet, the official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. This week we're here to discuss... I'll edit that bit out. This week we're here to discuss a somewhat controversial topic, underrated comic book movies. Or more accurately, comic book movies that everyone thinks are garbage, but may not entirely be garbage. My name is James, or perhaps you know me as Mr. Sunday, editor at Comic Book Movie, or sorry, junior editor at comicbookmovie.com, and creator of the Mr. Sunday Movies YouTube channel. And joining me this week with his wonderful Remy Zero, what's the word for that?
Nonsense. Waste of time. Waste of your time and our time, quite frankly.
Joining me this week is my co-host Nick Mason. Can I use your last name?
Real name, no gimmicks.
Real name, no gimmicks. Comic book movie aficionado and the only person on earth who has an original copy of the Batman Returns novelization.
Alan Dean Foster, I think, probably.
What else has he written?
Oh, just all the novelizations. If you want a terrible novelization.
I do.
Containing scenes that were cut out of the final shooting script but in the original for some reason. You call him.
You go Alan.
You call
Taylor.
IDF. Yeah, jeez. That's right.
Maybe we can get him on. We're never getting anybody.
No,
on.
We're never getting anybody on.
It's just us. Okay, so basically, how this episode's going to work is Mason and I will be taking in turns to name comic book movies that we think have been given an unfair rap. I'm sure none of the movies we're mentioning are perfect, but the idea is that we discuss any redeeming qualities that you know they might have. Does that make sense?
I'm on board. Sure.
Cool.
I love redeeming qualities.
Sure.
In fact, redeeming qualities are a prime factor of superhero movies generally.
That's very true.
It's all about redemption.
Okay. Do you want me to kick things off?
Yes, please.
Also, yeah, full spoilers for all these movies that we're discussing. So if we name a movie and you haven't seen it and, you know, you don't want to know anything about it, skip ahead an amount of time to the next thing.
At least an hour.
At least an hour. Okay. All right. X-Men The Last Stand. I thought I'd start with that.
Okay.
Thoughts on that in general?
I like X-Men The Last Stand.
Do you think it's the best X-Men movie?
No.
Do you think it's the worst X-Men movie?
No, wait. It's the worst X-Men group movie.
But I would say it's not the worst X-Men movie. That is Wolverine Origins. probably second worst. But I don't think it's still that bad a film in general.
Okay, so it's got the Juggernaut.
Yeah.
And who was apparently brought in to satisfy the internet meme. Right, the Juggernaut, yeah. Bitch, they yep, decided yep, to yep. put that in. So that's points against.
It's,
sure.
That's I was gonna say Vinny Rams. It's Vinny Jones.
Yeah. It is Vinny Jones. Yes.
He's just in a big rubber muscle suit. You know, it didn't work out at all for that. It's just a big weird looking.
Why would you? They'll CGI over the top. Forget you know what it. They probably did is they probably said, hey, we'll put this ridiculous looking, unrealistic rubber muscle suit on you. It doesn't look like the muscles of any human ever, and we'll CGI that over the top of like, and he's like, you know, I'm on board, and then they didn't.
Definitely.
He annoyed somebody in,
and then he glassed
in visual
someone.
Effects. Yeah, he glassed somebody in visual effects, and they're like, you know what, just leave it.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Looks great.
Yeah. You know,
doesn't look great.
Okay,
looks
give
terrible.
Me give me some good points.
Okay. As far as the look of it goes, it looks like the other two. Like, if you put them side by side, visually, they're pretty close. And I know that's not great. That's not like a big redeeming quality,
that's more
but it's something.
Than anything.
It lines up. I guess it sort of looks like it was shot by the same person, even if it doesn't. It's clearly not when you watch the actual movie. Does that
I'm on
sense?
Board, sure.
Other thing, there are some good action sequences. The bridge, remember when Magneto, he lifts the bridge?
Oh, he lifted the bridge!
And
I
he moves
the bridge.
Bridge, and then
I'm
he drops...
I'm back on board, back James. On board. I'm back on board.
Great, that's an amazing scene, amazing. I think that was originally going to be in another X-Men movie, and they pushed it back to this one, so it might have actually been something that Bryan Singer wanted to do, and then kind of, what's his name, Brett Ratner just picked up the scraps and...
I hope that... In the whiteboard in the Fox production offices, there was just like, they've written mutants on the whiteboard, and then just above that, they've written bridge. Somebody lifts a bridge. That's priority number one, and it just got buried.
They did it. Mm. Eventually.
They finally did it.
Also, I thought, and this will probably be the last thing. No, second last thing I want to say about this. It's an okay way to cap off the trilogy. Like, it kind of wraps everything up. It kills Professor Xavier, sort of, because he's in the post-credit scene. Remember
it explodes
that?
Him, sure.
Explodes him, and then he's... In another body at the end, which I think they're going to explain more in the Days of Future Past.
I don't think they will, though.
They will, won't they?
I...
Yeah, did you saw the Wolverine?
Yes. And he's in the post-credit sequence.
He's in the post-credit sequence. Post-credit sequence?
Post-credit sequence.
Yeah, that's it. But...
Where are they getting... I guess so, but...
I think the idea is, though, I think I remember reading somewhere that he puts... That's his twin brother in the coma, so that's how he comes back. Does that make sense?
No, but
because why
I'm
would he
board.
Be paraplegic though? Also?
But comic book logic, so it's fine. You know what? It's fine. I'm on board.
Good. And they made they completely ballsed up the Jean Grey saga. You know that the whole sorry Jean Grey saga, the Phoenix saga. There's a lot of things that just don't work. 1-inch spikes guy. You know the guy whose power has the
my
spikes.
My favorite villain.
He's
like
Porcupine Man. I don't know what he's actually called. He's in Lost. That guy. You don't like Lost.
No,
I don't like Lost. I'll watch it all.
I mean,
wish I didn't.
He's the only villain who's. Your only inherent danger is if you're trapped in a phone booth with him.
Yeah.
And then you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, that's... God, terrible. But look, I think all in all, it's not that bad. Are you on board with me on that?
Yes.
Good.
All right, do you want to switch?
Yeah, let's switch.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I'm kidding! It's the worst movie ever. Although, full credit... To the creators of League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. For A, ruining the franchise.
Okay, yep.
And B, for putting a car chase in pre-automotive Europe, like Victorian era. I think, like, that's quite a feat. It's basically, like, it's a bold-faced middle finger to just any audience member who has any memory of anything from, like, pre-last
week. Any point in time.
Yeah, any point in time, sure.
Isn't it also that, I'm assuming in that movie, that's the only car in existence, right?
Yeah.
Why can Tom Sawyer drive that car really well?
That's a really good point.
As he outraces the earthquake?
I think it was an earthquake, sure. Yeah. A tidal wave?
So, I thought there was like cracks through the city and he's racing the... It doesn't matter. What's the real one you've got? I fucking hate that movie.
You know what? It's not a good film.
Sure.
It's got redeeming features, though.
That's what we need. That's what we're here for.
Daredevil.
Yeah. I had Daredevil on the
Daredevil
list.
On your list?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Right. Notwithstanding... The horrific new metal soundtrack.
What is it? Evanescence.
It's always Evanescence.
One, the girl sings, and then the guy raps.
And then the guy raps, yeah. Sure, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so, points for any scene with, John Favreau and Ben Affleck together.
Yep, absolutely.
Where Favreau's all like,
in a
hey,
post-Murdoch world.
Hey, Murdoch, what are you doing? Your clients are paying us in fish. I can't pay my electric electricity bill with fish. No, it's probably not. No,
I think it is.
Yeah, somebody pays him in fish. Sure.
Wow.
I know.
That's a bold move.
Okay, so I'm on board for that. Okay.
Table.
Yes.
Sorry.
That's right. We'll edit that out. That's fine. You'll edit it out specifically. And you know what? Any scene with, there's a scene, and it's a little bit ridiculous, sure, but there's a scene with Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck. They're on a playground.
That's the worst scene in the movie.
That was the best scene in the movie.
Where they have that weird dance.
Yeah, they have the dance fight.
What I find weird about that is, she knows he's blind, right?
Yep.
And she's like slapping the shit out of him. Like, I don't know. Is that weird? Is that weird that I think that's weird?
I think it's weird that you think it's weird.
Okay, right.
I think you hate people with disabilities. I think do. That's what we've
that's
learned.
That's probably it. Mm. But yeah. No, that, hang on. Let me scroll down. There's some things I wanted to say about Daredevil.
Well, by all means.
I'm going to say them.
Yeah, put them out on the table.
I had great soundtrack. First thing I put down was great. But it's clearly not a great soundtrack. Okay, but look, it's at the time, what was it, early 2000? 2003?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I think it's 2003. I'm pretty sure it is.
Because
I think Electra was in 2003.
Sure.
Yeah, there you go. It was probably the best Daredevil movie they could have made at that particular time. Coming off X-Men, so you've got to have like the leather suit.
Uh-huh,
you can't
sure.
have like a proper comic book suit. So you've got to have a leather suit. It was really the best thing they could have done because comic book movies get a lot better after that. So I would say probably, maybe after Spider-Man 2. So what's that? 2004?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Let's not say any actual dates because we'll get complaints.
That's true.
That,
yeah.
That vague
Spider-Man
time.
4, Spider-Man 2 came out at one point.
Do you remember the early 21st century?
Do I ever?
Oh boy.
Yeah. Also, you know his sonar powers. You know yes. he's got the hearing powers. I'm sure everybody. I mean, if you're listening to this, I'm sure you know all about that. They portray that really well.
That's true.
You know, he does the thing. He hits his billy club, and it makes that cool kind of sound visual effect. I thought that was
good.
Really, really good. The character of Bullseye was that's a weird way to do it with Colin Farrell and his
in terms of the look.
Yeah, and just the whole thing.
I think that's probably because a point against Daredevil. It was quite dark. Like,
yeah,
like visually.
Do you mean visually? Not
I mean
like,
visually,
yeah.
Sure. And comic book Bullseye just wears like a black bodysuit.
Yeah, yeah.
So in the dark, him and Daredevil. Are going to look exactly the same.
That's true.
On
yeah.
screen. So you've got to have to give him a weird sleeveless overcoat or whatever it is.
He had a sparkly trench coat.
Yeah, sparkly trench coat.
And
sure.
yeah. Also, another thing about Bullseye, that end fight where he's fighting in the cathedral and he's hitting all the pipes, that whole thing looks terrible because there's a lot of it CGI cut in with real footage and it's all bouncy and strange. But the end bit where he moves his hands and the sniper shoots the bullet through Bullseye's hands, then he pegs him out the stained glass window and he smashes on the cop car.
Yep.
That bit's really, really cool.
That is true.
Yeah.
Oh, also, another point for Daredevil, and this is a lesson, the one lesson that other filmmakers could probably learn from Daredevil is the origin story is mercifully brief.
Yeah, yeah,
which
absolutely.
I think...
Yeah.
He gets his powers, his father is killed.
Yeah.
He says, I'm going to be a superhero, and then it cuts
and then
10 years into the future and his whole life's fallen apart. I think, like, I don't think we're going to escape it, but I think all the big tentpole movies, all the Spider-Mans, all the Supermans, all the Batmans, every couple of years we're going to see the origin movie
absolutely.
Again and again. Because as far as I know, marketers don't think that kids who are buying the lunchboxes and the action figures want to see an old movie.
No, God,
they don't want to see... I mean, in a couple of years, nobody's going to want to see Christian Bale becoming Batman again. They want to see the new guy.
That's true.
Who I'm
Ben Affleck.
Yeah, Ben Affleck, yeah. And then
everybody
after that...
seems to be on board for that, from what I've heard.
It's fine.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. I think it was an okay Daredevil, and I think he'll be a good Batman. Do you think that?
I think that is the best praise anyone could hope for.
Cool.
He'll be okay,
he'll
probably.
Be fine. But yeah, you're right.
Just
though.
Hand him his millions of dollars and he'll be fine.
He
probably.
Doesn't care. He probably does care. I saw an interview with him and Jimmy. Anyway, it doesn't matter. We'll talk about that another time. Yeah. Also, are you aware of the director's cut?
Of Daredevil?
Yeah.
Is it? Does
it's got Coolio in it. There's like a subplot with Coolio.
Oh, he's in prison.
Yeah, he's trying to get him off for something. I can't remember. I saw it ages ago. I might even watch the clips on YouTube. I might have even watched it all together. But apparently, though I can't really remember this, it makes it a much better film, the director's cut.
Huh.
Yeah, but I can't say that for certain. But that's what people say. Should
gonna,
we watch it?
I'm going to take it on faith and not. You know what? I feel in coming weeks we should watch some forgotten classics. But
what are
I don't
you thinking?
I don't think Daredevil should be one of them.
All right.
Perhaps Steel with Shaquille O'Neal.
I've never seen Steel.
Neither have I.
Can we then watch Shazam with
Shaquille
O'Neal?
We could definitely Kazam, please.
It's
Kazam.
That's embarrassing.
That is embarrassing for you. Rapping genie Kazam.
Come out of a boombox?
Yes.
Doesn't he come out of a boombox?
Probably.
I'm sure he does.
Mm.
How's that work? Unless I just made that up. Then it doesn't.
Magic.
Now, yeah, I forgot.
God.
What a good movie, probably.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want me to go to the next one?
Please do. Right, don't say Daredevil. I know it's on your list, but we just did it, like, literally seconds ago.
I know you hate this movie.
Okay.
I don't hate it as much as you. Hate it. Superman Returns.
I hate it. I hate it so much. It depresses me. It's dreary and like a weird sepia tone.
Do you mean good?
No.
Oh, you mean dreary.
I mean dreary. Okay, like cool. A dreary film.
Yeah.
And it's just... Okay, you know what? Say your piece and then I'm going to rant.
Okay,
about
fine, sure.
Just
okay,
cinematic Superman generally.
The strange thing is I just wanted to point out that X-Men 3 only exists the way it is because of Superman Returns. You know, Bryan Singer left the X-Men franchise, went to Superman Returns. So X-Men got ballsed up. Superman got ballsed up. So Bryan Singer is responsible for both of those things. Yeah. Okay. You know, it does have some good action scenes. There's one in particular that's really, really good. The rest of them, not so much. The catching the plane scene, remember that? That's a really good scene, right? And he breaks the wings off and then he slowly, and the plane crumples and he catches it on the football field. That's pretty cool. Do you agree?
It's fine, sure.
Okay, fair enough. It's fine.
It will do.
Also, he does very briefly do some awesome Superman stuff. You know, where he stops the bank robbers and they got the Gatling gun on the pulley thing and all the bullets are pinging off him and then he shoots him in the eye and
the bullet
crumples.
Bounces off his eye, sure.
That's amazing. But the problem with that part is, the bullet bouncing off the eye is the best part in the movie, and it's in the trailer.
That's
so
true.
I saw that trailer, and I was like, wow, this movie's going to blow everyone's fucking minds, and yet that's the best part.
Mm. Okay, I'm going to talk about Superman Returns for a second. It's a terrible movie, and you're a terrible person for liking it, but...
I didn't say I liked it. I said it's not... There are some redeeming qualities.
That's fine. Okay, but I don't believe you. Listen, The problem I have, and it's a problem that I've had with all the cinematic Superman movies, except Man of Steel, which I haven't seen, so.
People are not gonna like that.
We'll edit that out, it's fine. Okay. Keep it in. I don't care. That he's a man who can do anything,
yeah.
And yet you never see him doing anything. He could travel the entire length of the galaxy.
He could travel through time.
He could travel the entire length of the galaxy and meet other alien civilizations that have incredible adventures across time and space and dimensions, but
weird
he stays on
sex.
Earth and heaps of it, just so much.
So much.
Just lay it on him. But he stays on Earth, which is fine because he wants to be the protector of Earth.
Because he's from, you know, Kansas.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, not from, you know what I mean.
That's right, and yet his primary antagonist isn't, over the past couple of decades in the film, isn't anyone impressive. It's cinematic Lex Luthor.
Are you saying Kevin Spacey is not impressive?
I'm saying that Kevin Spacey and Gene Hackman do a fine job with what they're given, but the Lex Luthor in the films is this sort of pompous blowhard who surrounds himself with real, like, world-class gold-plated idiots to make himself look like he's smarter than he is. And that's not... Like, if... It's just Superman's sense of mercy and fair play that just doesn't grab him and throw him into space.
Interesting you should say that.
Yes.
Do you know what happens at the end of Man of Steel?
Does he throw...
Do you really not know this?
No, I do. Somebody spoiled it for me.
Okay, cool.
Does he breaks
Zod's neck? He snaps Zod's neck.
Yeah, exactly.
And people lost it when that happened.
Which is interesting because... I tapped the table.
That's fine.
It's interesting because classically in the comic book, Superman did kill the three criminals from...
But that was like a... Oh, do you mean... The gold with the gold kryptonite? Do you mean that?
Originally, he kills them with a Phantom Zone projector.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he is distinct from Batman in that he doesn't kill, but he has killed.
Yeah.
And it's just that in the movie he broke his neck. He didn't zap him with a silly ray.
I think my problem with it, because I'm okay with Superman killing, like, it's fine in general, but I think the fact that, and people say, well, you know what, they shouldn't have, what was it? People say he had to snap his neck. Because he was being put in that situation. But the thing is, if you're writing the movie, you don't have to put him in a situation like that. You can put him in a situation where he can think of another way to get out of it.
Correct. It's not a news report.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. And look, I don't really care that much. I think it speaks more for what's going to happen in future films. I think it's going to have some kind of impact down the line. I don't know in what way, but I just think it was a strange way to do it.
It was.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to Superman Returns.
Sorry.
No, but my point, in the regular DC comic book universe,
yeah,
Lex Luthor has always been some combination of, like, billionaire, industrialist, super genius,
yeah,
mad inventor, you know, master manipulator kind of character.
Sexer of old women?
Yeah, exactly.
Do you remember that?
Oh, boy. So in the comic books, I think a number of years ago, with Superman and Batman and the Justice League and everybody,
yeah,
and all the checkmate and all the secret organizations dogging him at every turn, Lex Luthor becomes the President of the United States.
Yeah.
legitimately, and he makes Superman and Batman Public Enemies number one and two. And
like can, Public Enemies?
Yeah, like the band Public Enemy. Like Enemy.
That's where that got... makes sense now.
Perfect sense.
I didn't get it.
And yet, in Superman Returns,
yeah.
Superman, who is apparently the only superhuman in that universe...
I think that's right.
Right, he's away from Earth for 5 years.
Yeah.
And in that 5 years, Lex Luthor just about manages to trick an old lady into giving him a boat. And in the end, she doesn't. She just dies, and then he forges her signature on the deed. Do you see the disparity there? Like, it's not...
Baby steps. Maybe baby give steps. Him another 10 okay. years, he could have been...
I could have been...
Minister of Defense. I could have been...
He could have had an ice cream van, maybe. But
look, you're right. I can't really argue with that. That's solid
it's
gold
solid logic.
Logic
isn't
I can't
it?
Really argue with that. But look... It's not very good.
No.
I'm glad they rebooted it. Then again, I would have liked to see, because Bryan Singer said he always wanted to go Wrath of Khan when he did the follow-up Superman Returns, which I think could have been interesting, but at the same time, it's probably best that they've just cut it off. The Donner films, because that's a continuation of the Donner films, they're fine as they are. You don't need to really expand on that. They're from an era that's gone.
Mm. Which, also, there's a deleted scene at the start of Superman Returns where... He's in his crystal spaceship.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. Yeah,
exactly. The only, and he goes to see the ruins of Krypton.
I remember,
The only, what I would say, visually interesting part of the film, besides the plane catch sequence, and they cut it out because it was too interesting. People might be confused. How was he?
People would have been confused, though.
Is he flying through space in a lamp? What's going on?
It's a big lamp.
It's a big lamp, guys.
Fair point. What do you think, though? I know you love the Kryptonite Island, though, right?
Oh, it's all shady land deals with this Lex Luthor. Stop it. God, build a giant robot.
You know what I didn't like about the Kryptonite Island as well? He lands there. He seems to have no comprehension that what he's landed on is essentially the worst possible thing that could happen to him.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't seem to feel the effects until someone starts slapping him around.
That's true.
And then he's so weak that Lex Luthor can like shank him and turf him off the edge. And then he gets the energy to lift the entire thing. And there's kryptonite all around him. Like, you see it all around him.
Uh-huh.
And yet he has the strength to lift him into space. But when kryptonite's around him, he's supposed to be, like, as weak as, like, a human baby or depending on whatever comic it is.
Mm.
So how is it that he has... Is it just willpower that he can lift that island?
I think it's willpower and good old-fashioned American grit. You know what I mean?
That makes sense.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
They should have said that at the end. How did you lift the island, Superman?
Yep.
Willpower.
Elbow American grease. Grit. Love of a good woman. There we go.
So, out of 10, no, we're not doing that.
No.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
Next one. I said Superman Returns, yeah?
You did say Superman Returns.
What do you got?
How about Iron Man 2 and 3? Collectively.
Okay, yep.
There's good parts.
I agree, yeah.
Sam Rockwell
is great in everything. Awesome in everything.
Okay,
yeah.
I would watch a video sent from the future of Sam Rockwell beating me up. That's what I'd watch that, and he'd be just laying into me, and I'd be like, he's great in this. He's so good in this.
But tell me, would there be anybody who's like, I don't want to watch that? Of course you want to watch a video from the future of yourself being beaten up.
By Sam Rockwell.
Well, anybody.
Yeah, I guess so.
But yeah, no, that's a good point. He's great. Have you seen Seven Psychopaths?
No.
That's great. You should see
I've seen Confessions of a Dangerous Mind.
That, we saw that together.
Yeah.
What a memory.
Oh, don't remember that. Okay. Sam Rockwell's great in it.
Yeah.
What else is great? The briefcase with the armor in it.
That's awesome. Five. That bit, I remember seeing that trailer and just being, that was like the Superman bullet to the eye kind of moment.
Exactly. It's been
That's my favorite Iron Man armor from the movies.
Ooh.
Because I like that it's portable and it's kind of cool and he can, I mean, I know like he's got more advanced ones and it's not even as strong as like his Mark, what's his first one that's cut, you know, I'm not even going to say it. The first one that's color. So I think it's Mark 4?
Three.
Three?
It's three.
Eight.
It's not eight.
57.
No, he doesn't have that many.
He has that many.
All right, fine.
He doesn't. He's got like 40-something. But yeah, yeah, that's a great scene. Weird that Whiplash would not cover his body.
It is, isn't it? and it's weird, too, that Iron Man's first move in any of those fights wouldn't just be to fire a rocket just around the corner.
Yeah.
And just have it circle back and hit somebody in the back of the head.
I don't think that suit does that. I think it's only got repulsors.
I guess it would, yeah.
And you can be whipped and you're okay for a little bit.
Whip-proofing,
yeah,
sure.
But it still hurts.
Yeah.
It stings.
That's, yeah.
But you know what my problem with that movie is? It ends the same way as the first one does in that it's just a fight with a guy in an Iron Man suit.
It is, and there's a sort of a sacrifice. There's maybe going to be a sacrifice. Maybe they die in the repulsor blast, but they don't.
Yep.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
Mm.
But no, I'm okay with Iron Man. I didn't love it. I saw it and I went, that was pretty underwhelming. But I'm okay with it.
Mm.
And what about three?
Three again.
It works as a buddy comedy.
It works as buddy comedy, absolutely.
It's dumb as an Iron Man film.
You've definitely covered this in a video before. But
I probably have.
I think in that movie, there's a lot of Iron Man grappling with dudes.
Yeah.
And I think that's because Shane Black is good at directing people grappling.
He's good at directing Mel Gibson grappling.
Grappling with racism, sure.
Or did he? No, he wrote Lethal Weapon and directed, did he?
I have no idea.
I think Richard Donner did it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
He's back.
He's back. He's not. He's
no.
dead.
Oh.
Is he dead?
I don't know. I'm not looking it up.
Let's get him on the show.
Let's get him on the show and talk to him about it. His potential death.
People are listening to this losing their minds. We're making mistakes left, right, and center, just moving on, and people are jumping up and down.
Oh, they should leave a comment in the thing.
Absolutely.
There's going to be a thing, right?
There will be a thing.
Okay, they can comment in the thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so, where was I?
Richard Donner's dead.
No, before that, God. Uh-oh. Shane Black's good at shooting fist fight action sequences, but not so good with actual superhero sequences.
No, I'd agree with that.
I think
the aerial scene's pretty good.
And that that makes a lot of Iron Man's actions in the movie sort of nonsensical.
Yeah.
Because why would he get into a grapple with somebody he knows is going to shut his suit down?
Yeah.
He'd just stay a long way away.
And shoot the back of the head missile.
Back of the head missile, exactly. Yeah. Same with the final battle sequence, which again looks pretty good.
It does look pretty good.
But if you have 30 fully autonomous, fully armed Iron Man suits, and you do, we know you do, why not have them just stay at extreme range and just shoot lasers until everybody's dead?
That's why grapple, you're right, with lava men.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And also, and I think this has been covered ad nauseum on the internet, but...
The internet?
You know, it's a series of tubes.
Oh.
All around us.
Like fallopian tubes?
No, it's like an information superhighway. You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I get
like
it.
Like a cyberspace?
I don't get it. I'm
the,
just saying
the
I get
interwebbles.
It. Yeah, I can, yeah.
Okay, good. But he invites the Mandarin to his home.
Yes.
Where, again, he has 30 fully operational autonomous suits
that
have heaps of guns and lasers and what have you.
Yeah.
And then he's surprised when the Mandarin shows up and blows the house up.
I was surprised.
I mean, you could have fixed that with a line of dialogue. You could have said, Jarvis, hey, get all those millions of suits out of storage. And it could have been like, there's a virus.
Yeah.
I can't do anything.
I'm very British.
I'm so British. Look, it's tea time, honestly. So,
yeah.
It's.
You're right. They could have fixed that.
Mm.
Because he would have had at least one. You'd think at least, even if the suits weren't ready, you'd put on the suit that's not a prototype suit that's been known to rattle off you at random points in time.
Mm.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Redeeming qualities?
Ah, were we? Okay, everybody's good in it.
Yeah, that's true.
And you know, a lot of the action sequences are quite good. They visually, you're right about the aerial sequence.
Yeah, aerial sequence.
Although
is
again,
really
it
good.
Is disappointing he's not in the suit.
Yes, it is, because he's not in the suit for a lot of it.
Yeah.
Hmm.
The sequence where he breaks into the Mandarin's, you know, the entire sequence where he's in the Mandarin's compound.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he breaks in and then he fights.
Ben Kingsley.
Yeah, he fights Ben Kingsley. He defeats the guards with wearing one boot and one glove.
Yeah, that was a great scene. I really liked that scene. That's really, really cool.
And yeah, and the interplay between him and the kid, I think it was quite funny.
Yeah, I hate kids in movies.
They're
I hate kids
worst.
In life.
Yeah.
But also, I hate kids in movies much, much more.
Mm.
And that kid was tolerable.
Yes.
You know who's a really good kid in a movie? Kid in a movie?
Macaulay Culkin.
Yes.
Wow.
Name one of his movies.
I can't.
Richie Rich.
Oh.
Best film ever.
I was just going to let that sit there.
No.
For as much as 10 minutes.
You're a prick. But yeah, Iron Man 2 and 3, they're okay, I think. The best Iron Man film, I think, is The Avengers. Even though it's not technically an Iron Man film, though he's in it quite a lot.
I think Robert Downey Jr. got $50 million for it, so I think it is an Iron Man film.
Yeah, fair point. Yeah. All right, I see what I got next?
Yes.
Okay. Constantine!
Okay, I'm on board.
We saw this, right?
I think
we saw it together.
Yeah.
Constantine, I would say, is probably one of my favorite kind of underrated comic book movies. Now, I've only seen it maybe only once, but I remember enjoying it quite a bit at the time. Now, I know they changed a lot about the character. He's supposed to look like Sting, is that right?
He is, yes.
He is. Isn't he based, like, directly off Sting?
Pretty much. I mean, Sting in a trench coat.
Sting
so,
in
I
a
mean,
trench
just
coat.
Head, you know, neck up, so blonde and kind of Stingish.
Stingish.
Yeah.
So, and he's not British.
Mm-hmm.
I've got here, not blonde, not British, not Sting.
Uh-huh.
So they fucked that up.
They really did.
But what are you going to do? You're not going to...
Who's going to pay money for that, though, at the box office?
Me. Us.
No.
We would have
you'll
seen
pay, you'll pay for one. You'll pay for British.
Yep.
Jason Statham.
Sure.
You'll pay for blonde.
Taylor Leone,
sure.
Is she blonde?
Ish. Sure.
Okay.
Yep. You'll pay for the third thing that you said.
Not Sting.
Not Sting.
So I'm paying to go see a movie that's not.
You will pay a movie.
Doesn't have
although
Sting
you will
it.
Pay. Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. You pay for that.
Oh, yeah. He's good in that.
He's good in that.
Yeah.
Mm. They should have got Sting.
They should.
Anyway, continue.
You seen June?
No.
He's in that.
Ooh.
He's wearing just this tiny pair of underwear and he's all oiled up.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't say, it's really, anyway, look it up, it's really weird.
Is that a theatrically released movie? Or
yeah,
is it
in
just
the 80s.
Something on the YouTube? Oh, I see.
You remember
June! Oh, Dune!
What do you think I said?
I said June.
Yeah, June!
Right, I get it.
It's spelled with a J, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the month.
Leave a comment, tell me if I'm wrong. Okay.
That's what it says on the poster, June. You know, like the month. And there's a giant sandworm. You know, like the month, guys.
Yeah. So, I think Keanu Reeves, I know people are like, oh, he's wooden, he sucks, blah, blah, blah. I quite like Keanu Reeves. For a guy who's got very limited range, he's okay to watch.
Mm.
Do you agree with that?
I think he's much better to watch. Watching a man with a limited range work well within that range
like
is just as good. It's just as good as watching, say, a madman who'll do any film just whatever script arrives.
You're saying Nicolas Cage.
I'm saying Nicolas Cage, exactly. I think they both work. Yes.
They do, yeah. I genuinely like Keanu Reeves. I think, people like Keanu Reeves. Obviously, his movies still make money. People go to his movies.
Yeah.
Even those Matrix sequels, which are garbage. But yeah, look, I think he's good in that movie with material he's given. And the action scenes in it, if you remember, they're kind of clever. Do you remember the one where he gets Shia LaBeouf? Shia LaBeouf's in that movie. Do you remember that? Before
yes.
He was like massive. I think it was after Holes. After he had Holes. But he's still like a little kid. And he's like, I want to be just like you, John Constantine. Let's go fight evil.
I got a cabbie hat on.
Terrible.
Mm.
But you remember they rigged the sprinkler system with holy water?
I do remember that.
And then he sets it off and there's like a room full of demons and then he just shotguns like all of them after the holy water. And it's amazing. And there's the other scene where he fights the guy from Bush.
Yeah.
He's the demon. Do you remember? And he like melts his face
Gavin
off.
Gavin Rossdale.
Gavin
sure.
Rossdale of Bush. Remember when Gavin Rossdale was more popular than Gwen Stefani?
That's
they're married,
amazing.
By the way, for those who don't know that. Or they were married. Are they married?
I think they're still married.
Let's
sure.
get them on the show.
Let's get them on the show, guys.
Yeah. Also, I like, you remember the ending as well, where he dies, and the devil played by, what's his name? You know, that vaguely Eastern European guy.
Peter Straw, no
Stronmer.
Yeah, Peter Stronmer. Strawmouth.
Strawmouth, yeah, Peter Strawmouth. Satan comes up because he's the only soul that Satan, Constantine is the only soul that Satan will come to Earth to collect personally.
Because
he escaped hell that one time
yep.
when he was a kid when he killed himself. That's a whole thing, I'm sure. But, you know, when he goes to heaven, because he tricks Satan, and then he gives him the finger as he's going, and it's quite funny, and
that's
it's a good,
great.
Really good scene, yeah. I would say, it's like a good version. Remember those Russian movies, Night Watch, Day Watch? Remember that we watched?
I do.
Why do people like those?
I don't know.
They're terrible. Like, maybe they're good by, like, Russian movie standards. I don't want to insult Russian movies. I haven't seen any, except for these two, and they suck.
Yeah. I think we can make a blanket generalization. It's fine.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, those movies, I think it's like a good, or at least a better version of those movies. I think it's better than it could have been, which I know isn't saying much, but I think it's worth a watch at least once.
I think that's...
Blu-ray.
Definitely on Blu-ray, sure. Mm.
I don't have any Blu-rays.
No, neither do I. It's weird, why bother? Yeah, I think that is kind of a trend. It is often the best... They could. I'm glad it didn't go the other way. There are a lot of movies that I'm glad weren't made 10 years prior, like Watchmen.
God.
A lot of people are not,
like in the 90s.
Yeah, exactly.
Make it with Tom Cruise.
A lot of people are. There are mixed feelings about Watchmen. I quite enjoyed it.
I agree. Yeah. Do you don't like the squid? Oh, they took the squid out.
No, I'm okay with them taking the squid
I
out.
Like that.
I'm upset with them taking some of the lines away from Dr. Manhattan and giving them to. Yeah, you know what I'm upset about.
I can't even remember what the lines.
Okay. In Watchmen, the movie, I think they were very much... somebody at the studio, I guess, was in favour of making Ozymandias definitively a villain.
Yeah.
Because in the comic book, obviously, he has doubts about what he's done. He needs to save the world.
It's kind of not ambiguous.
The movie, in the original comic book, he expresses some doubts.
At the end, doesn't he? Yeah, he's like...
He says it all worked out in the end, right?
And Dr. Man's like,
Yeah. Well, I don't know. What am I, a future seeing guy?
He is.
Yeah, he is, though. But in the movie, those lines are given to Silk Spectre and Night Owl.
That's a weird choice.
It is a weird choice, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so
I guess
in the movie, they don't want him to express any doubt.
Yeah.
He's the villain and he did this villainous thing to save the world, but he's still the villain.
Yeah.
Mm.
Good point.
It is a really good point.
Well
I make
played.
Heaps of good points,
You've
James.
Made at least eight. I've
least,
been counting.
Thank you.
What do you got?
Boy. I think I'm down to movies that only have one redeeming feature.
Okay, that's okay. Cool.
Because
my next one is like... No, you go.
That's okay, fine. Well, I was going to say The Punisher.
Which one?
Thomas Jane.
Thomas Jane, yeah.
So 2004, I think.
Yeah, don't say the date.
I shouldn't say the date, should I? We'll get letters. We'll get old-fashioned letters delivered by carrier pigeon. Thomas Jane is great in that.
Yeah, he is.
It's garbage.
Yeah, yep.
I think...
You know what, though?
Yes.
There's that really good scene where he fights giant Popeye.
Uh-huh, sure.
You remember how the guy turns up and says,
yeah.
And this guy is just... I'm sure he's some kind of professional wrestler. I don't know anything about wrestling, so... Write a comment.
Okay, we'll pause the podcast. You'll get up to speed on professional
yep.
wrestling, and then we can talk
Got
about
done.
It.
Done. Yep.
Hollywood
done.
Hulk Hogan.
Can you believe it?
I can't believe it.
He made a sex tape.
Oh boy.
Not intentionally, somebody filmed him.
That's not the purview of this podcast. It's an off-air conversation, James.
Okay, all right, sorry. Basically, no, you were saying, was I saying?
Yeah, giant Popeye.
Yeah, the giant Popeye comes in and there's this kind of funny, comical, like brutal fight scene where Punisher's just like throwing everything at him and he got the secret gun and the guy just like bends it with the weights and he ends up throwing the boiling pot of water in his face. Do you remember that?
I do.
And then he throws him down a flight of stairs, I think. It's an amazing scene. It's a really good scene.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll concede
John
that.
Travolta, I know you like him as well.
Oh, he's the worst. Okay, I feel that...
Would you say John Travolta is the Nicolas Cage of films?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Community theatre, at least.
Yeah.
I think there was a period, and I think it was from about 2004 till Iron Man, till first Iron Man, where I think movie studios thought they had everything figured out.
They did, like, though,
superhero,
didn't they?
Like superhero movies figured out. And they're like, okay, well, all you need is an origin story and a villain, and then like this story sequence happens, and then there's redemption at the end, and it's great.
Yeah.
And we've nailed this.
Yeah.
And we can have a nice PG-13 movie for everybody.
Yeah.
And then they just went down the list and went, oh, the Punisher. Let's slot him in. And it's become this like weird PG family friendly Death Wish kind of movie.
Yeah.
Where,
yeah.
And it's, he's an FBI agent, for starters, which I find...
That's strange, yeah.
It's odd because...
But he's like a nice guy as well? Yeah. Was the Punisher ever, before he was the Punisher, was he ever like a super nice guy?
Oh, it's been reworked a couple
okay.
of times.
Yeah,
but
enough.
He, and I'm sure FBI agents have seen some strange things.
Sure.
But they've also got like...
Mulder and Scully.
Yeah, exactly. They've also got like company cars and a nice cafeteria probably. Like a war veteran has seen some horrific
There's
things.
A difference, yeah,
and,
I guess, yeah.
And it did seem odd that he was not a war veteran in this, because he is a guy who essentially uses military tactics against the mob. That is his whole...
Yeah.
That's his whole deal. And like there was some weird... Again, because it was a sort of... towing the line between this action film and kind of family friendly, there's this weird contrived scenes where like his son's like, hey dad, I got you this t-shirt with a skull on it, and he's like, well son, that's a fun
Isn't
little
he like,
t-shirt
it'll protect
but
you.
I mean, where am I ever gonna wear that t-shirt, but thanks for the gift, my only living son. And then
riddled with bullets
yeah. Exactly, yeah.
But you know, have you seen, well, there's a Dolph Lundgren one, I haven't seen that, have you seen that?
No.
I don't want to see.
Apparently he's just an angry guy with a gun in that. Like, he doesn't even wear
that. Sounds closer to
that? Yeah, it does. He kind of does, actually.
And Warzone, obviously. But
he's
amazing. Did you see the short film, the Thomas Jane short
Dirty
film?
Dirty Laundry, I did
that's
see that.
That's an awesome...
That is really good.
That's what they should do.
You know what I would
it
like to see?
It wouldn't make any money, but they should
do it. It would make zero money. Yeah. You know what I would like to see? Because, again, in the original comic books,
yeah,
or at least as it stands now, especially with the Punisher Max, the adults-only sort of version of the Punisher,
yeah.
His origin...
Is that the one where he's nude from the waist down?
Yeah, all the time. Just constantly. He's just got the skull swinging. It's weird. That his origin is one of the few that's remained in the time period where it began. So
yep,
he's
yep.
still a Vietnam War veteran. And
yeah.
I guess he's a man... Like, I guess now he's a man in his 60s who's been fighting crime as the Punisher for decades.
Yeah.
And I would kind of like to see... Because... Captain America worked, right?
Yeah, I thought so.
That's a good film.
I think it kind of loses it towards the end, but I think I really like Captain America.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, go on.
I would like to see a Punisher period film.
Yeah.
Where that begins in like the 70s. Like, and it's a weird, would you, like a weird grindhouse
that's
version.
What,
Thomas Jane.
That's what they wanted to do with the new Daredevil.
Ooh.
Before the rights went back.
Oh, that's right.
What's his name? The guy who did Wolf Fight. Liam Neeson Wolf Fight.
Oh, yeah, sure.
What's that movie called? I love that movie. What is it? Anyway, he
this podcast should be called The Listener's Scream Facts at Us. It should be called Listen, You Idiots.
Wolf Fight.
It's definitely called Wolf Fight.
But the director of that, he was going to make the like a 70s kind of, what you were talking about, a gritty kind of 70s style Daredevil movie.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Before the rights went back to Marvel.
Wow.
Which I don't think. I think it would have worked with if you went like for the kind of Frank Miller kind of Daredevil.
I think it would have worked.
But I think it's better that it's in the hands of Marvel and they can hopefully incorporate him into the Avengers. Or in that world, maybe not the Avengers specifically.
See, I would see like this 70s era Punisher.
Yeah.
You could have 70s Daredevil. Or
yeah.
You could have like some weird 70s characters that you don't see, like Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu or whatever. Like little guest appearances.
Is he super racist? Not racist himself. Not is he racist?
No, there's,
people,
there's
I mean,
more
like,
racist.
Is he a racist caricature?
No,
of
he's, no, he's quite. No, he's quite. He's no Egg Foo, certainly.
What?
Let's just let's leave that alone. But then you know, maybe you could put him in hiding, or like Captain America, you put him in hiding.
Yep.
You could put him in jail.
That,
for a
yeah,
number
that's
of decades,
cool. Yep.
And then bring him out. You could keep Thomas Roll Jane. I'd
out.
Like to see Thomas Jane.
Yeah.
And then he escapes from prison, or he escapes from his, you know, he returns from his solitude, or he returns from
And he's
his...
kind of a man out of time, just kicking skulls.
Yeah, just kicking skulls.
Yeah. That would be cool. You should direct a punishing movie.
I should direct that movie. Hollywood, I know you are listening.
Nobody's listening.
Nobody's listening.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, I don't hate that movie.
It's good.
No. Well, is it?
No, it's not good.
It's
no.
Okay.
You know what? Everything about it is terrible other than that. The
yep.
sequence where he blows up all the cars
yeah.
at the end and it forms a Punisher skull.
The Punisher...
Too stylized.
Would you liken that, though...
Yes.
...to what Batman does in The Dark Knight Rises, where he makes the big flame bat symbol on the side of the bridge?
No, because Batman's got a lot more money.
But... Yeah, he does. But he didn't have anything at that point. Because he just came back... You know, I'm not even going to get into this.
Okay,
cool. That's a whole other...
Please don't.
I like that movie as well, for anybody who's... gives a fuck. Okay, so...
there's an explicit tag on this episode. I don't know if we should...
Oh, yeah, sorry. I should have done this like 4 or 5 times. Okay, so... Spider-Man 3.
No redeeming feature.
No, look, this is the one on this whole list that I hate the most. Because it should know better.
Right.
Because it comes from better stock.
Uh-huh.
Because it had two decent films behind it. In particular, Part 2.
I'm not going to disagree, but continue.
You're an idiot.
I know.
Part 2 is a good movie.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, basically, I love Spider-Man 2, and I was really excited to see where it would go. So I just want to talk about why I hate the movie before I talk about the very few redeeming qualities. Is that cool?
Please go ahead.
Do this kind of...
It is,
okay.
Yes.
It's weird. It's
I'm going to veto that. No, continue.
Okay. It's weird. It's like a parody of a Spider-Man film. It's like a parody of the previous two films. You know, the same way that Terminator 3, which again, I don't hate, but is like a parody of the previous two?
Yes.
I feel that way about Spider-Man 3. Like, it's somebody else who's gone, I can make a Spider-Man 3, somebody who's not Sam Raimi, and it looks like the world, but it doesn't fit the world.
Do you think Sam Raimi did that deliberately?
See, that's the thing, though. He might have, because he's way better than what that movie is.
Yeah. And he did say, I'm not going to use Venom.
Like, yeah.
Venom as a character, as a villain, is, you know, it's not a good villain for this. And then they made him do
they
it.
They made
so
him do it, yeah.
Perhaps he self-sabotaged.
And you know what was weird? Like, at the time, I wanted to see Venom. And he came out and said, or whoever came out and said, we're doing Sandman. And I went, I don't really want to see Sandman. Rather see Venom, whatever. In hindsight, I was wrong on that because they absolutely... Not that I even love the character of Venom, but I just thought it would have been an interesting villain for him to go up against. Somebody who's got the same kind of skill set as him, plus a little bit more. Plus, you can do the whole black suit thing and whatever. But anyway, there's no explanation for where the black suit comes from.
You're forgetting space.
Yeah, but that's... Yeah.
No, like outer space?
Outer space.
Like, there's stuff in outer space,
the black,
right?
When
yeah.
you look up.
We're pointing up, listeners. We're both pointing
yeah.
up.
My
arms space.
Pointing up.
Yep.
Yeah. But, yeah, okay, look, I know it's from space in the comics, or in some incarnations of the comics, it's from space or whatever, but it just, a meteor drops out of nowhere, lands 20 feet from Peter Parker. Is that intentional? It could have been. They don't explain whether it is or not. If it was intentional, they should have mentioned that. Otherwise, what are the chances of that happening? Statistical probability of that happening.
I mean,
answer me.
I mean,
use maths and answer the. Sorry.
Well, pretty good. No, it's not true. It's slim to none. No, you're right.
The point is, they didn't have to do it that way. They could have done it in. I know in Ultimate Spider-Man, it's created in a lab.
It's a cure for cancer.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yep.
Have you read it? I think I read a few.
Many years ago, sure.
Yeah. But and which would have made more sense because those films, they're not realistic, but the science
is.
Science is like pseudo-realistic, and in the sense that it makes its own set of rules and it sticks to them.
Yeah, all
except for three.
All the villains in Spider-Man, generally speaking, are some sort of misfit of science. There's some sort of science experiment gone wrong, so it'd make perfect sense for Venom to be that.
Exactly. Like Green Goblin in the movies, Ghast is the Green Goblin. Doc Ock, regular guy, arms drilled into his back. Octopus Man. That's what they call him, right?
Yeah, Octopus Man.
Octopus Man, yeah.
Yep.
So that all makes sense, and all of a sudden
Larry Octopus.
Yeah, Larry Octopus. And then it's suddenly space alien.
Yeah.
Just for no reason.
Exactly.
Yeah. And again, maybe that comes back to what you were saying. He just did it like, whatever. This is what's happening.
It is weird that they could have, again, they could have added a line. They could have added a deleted scene. They could have added a scene where like a scientist creates it and then just like fires it out of a cannon. Accidentally. Yep. You know,
that would work. Yeah, sure.
It would make more sense.
It would make more. I don't know why he would fire that kind of happened in the last Spider-Man. Remember, he fires the lizard gas out of the.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
That's okay.
I'm tired of Spider-Man movies. I'll be honest with you.
I'm tired
of origin films. I think I've mentioned that.
Not to me, but but look. Sorry, I got a whole list of things here. Yeah, I already said that. Hang on. Yeah, I said Dr. Connors could have developed it. Even though that's not what happened in the comics, but you could have done it because he's in it. They set him up to be the lizard and then they never do that for obvious reasons. But look, Venom, as we said, it's a terrible villain to use. Uh-huh. It's a poor use of him. He's really poorly cast.
Uh-huh.
I don't hate Topher Grace, but that's a really poor casting decision. But I think Sandman, the character of Sandman and what they did with him in that movie for the little he was in it was actually quite interesting because unlike Venom, who's just at the end like, I just want to be bad, I'm a jerk, you know, just because I got fired, and he prays that Peter Parker gets killed.
Uh-huh.
Like, he just makes that leap.
Yep.
Sandman's, like, kind of sympathetic, the way that the other two villains in the previous movies were, where it's kind of like, you knew where he was coming from, he had the sick daughter, and that kind of makes sense. And I think if it had have been just the black suit, where you've got, like, a really kind of brutal kind of Spider-Man going up against a sympathetic villain like Sandman, I think that would have made it much more interesting than whatever happened. Oh, sorry, I was going to swear again. I could stop myself. Whatever happened.
That's
in
fine.
The end.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. I don't know. For me personally, like I enjoyed Spider-Man 1 or 2.
Yeah.
But personally, I didn't feel it. Spider-Man 3. It's not great, certainly.
No.
The dance sequence certainly isn't great.
Is it not?
Or it's the best part of the film.
Yeah.
But it's not great. That. Spider-Man 1 and 2 are not films that I would put on just to have a fun evening in.
No.
I feel that, like, Spider-Man is sort of he's the original sort of hard luck hero, where he's like, oh, how do I juggle these identities and, you know, pay my rent and all this sort of stuff.
I would
stuff.
Argue that Steel from the movie Steel is the original hard luck hero.
You haven't seen it.
Sorry, go on. But yeah, you're right.
But he's also a fun-loving character, and he's you know has crazy adventures and
whatnot.
He's not
very fun-loving.
It's what they seem to have done is they've taken the X number of decades of his existence, and extracted all the misery and packed it into 9 hours.
Yeah.
So like his parents are dead and his uncle Ben is dead and he lives in like this rat hole house and they're gonna evict him and his aunt all the time and you know he can't tell Mary Jane that he's the hero and everybody hates him and.
He's late
to things. He's late to operas all the time.
He is late to a lot of operas.
I don't know, just a lot of misery packed into those.
That is a very, that's a really good point.
Mm. So it's not a fun watch.
Any of them. So you would argue that they're all terrible.
Yes.
On some level.
Yes. No, they're good. They're well made.
And again, it's like the Daredevil thing,
mm.
where they're very much of the time.
Mm.
And they did lead to better things.
Mm.
I think people learn from the mistakes. The multiple villain things, you know, they packed them into three. Uh-huh. I think less films have done that than since then because they know it's a terrible idea to pack a film with villains. Hence why you've only got like Loki and the Chitauri and the Avengers and other things that I cannot remember.
Other examples? Sure.
Wolf fight.
Just wolves. Just wolves. They're going to have wolves and killer clowns.
Yeah.
But then they were like, you know.
That's right, yeah, Wolf Fight, Just Wolves. That's
just
what it's called,
yeah.
Great movie.
I can't believe it's Just Wolves, subtitle.
Alright, I'm out. That's everything I've got. So what have you got?
Gosh.
I got a few others that I just want to make brief mention of.
Okay.
What else have you got?
Well, like,
we might as well wrap it up.
Talking about good films that I'm not going to watch again, probably.
Okay.
The Nolan Batman films. That's right. I've said that thing.
You've just...
How do you like that?
It's
fine. It's totally fine. I'm sure other people have this. They're good. They're good.
Yep. Do you think... Is it the too realistic thing?
No.
Is it the voice?
It's the voice.
Is it his lisp?
Is it his
eye wart?
It's all of those things.
Okay.
You know what? Heath Ledger's Joker is probably my favourite villainous performance of all time.
Clearly you've never seen Steel.
I've never seen Steel with whatever villain was in Steel. It's probably, like an inner city, like land developer. Yeah, it wants to close the rec center.
Yeah,
I would assume. But he's got like thugs with guns for some reason. I bet that's what it is.
And do you think the bullets would ping off steel?
Yes.
Yeah. That makes sense that he would wear that.
Yeah, it's a really good idea when you think about it. But he's great in it, and people are also great in it.
Yeah.
Again, it's not they're not movies I'd watch for fun.
Do you think it's the same thing that you said with Spider-Man, where it's too grim? I mean, Batman is grim, so that's probably a stupid thing to say.
I think they're not... They're dark dramas. There's a lot of...
Would you say they're more procedural police cop films? Because people have said that as well. Like, it's kind of more like a movie, The Town, than a Batman movie.
They do use a lot of CSI logic.
Yeah.
Like, there's a scene in The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight, sure.
You're talking about the bullet thing.
I'm talking about the bullet thing, exactly. Where he's trying to figure out who the killers are, so he cuts out a piece of brick that's got a shattered bullet in it.
Sure.
And then he takes it to his Batcave apartment. Yep.
Not cave, he's under like
he's
a...
Under, he's
like
under a, thing. He's under lair.
Yeah, because his cave was gone.
Yeah, I know.
You don't know.
God. And then he scans it with a laser.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the computer puts the bullet back together digitally.
Yeah.
And then he scans a fingerprint off it.
But you forgot the bit where he also shoots the gun into other bricks.
Oh, he has a really big gun and he shoots the bullet. Okay, I forgot about that. Yeah. I forgot that incredible piece of logic that's in there. But
no, that doesn't... That makes it
not,
less...
Yeah. Not with, notwithstanding that the bullet, the fingerprint probably wouldn't be on the bullet. It'd be on the casing, which is over there.
Yep.
You could just pick that up.
Yeah. But isn't it, though, that the Joker put the bullet print on there on purpose so it would lead him to the guy at the window with the... So they would think that he was the sniper?
Could have just sent a letter.
Could have just sent a letter. But not only that, but yeah, that still doesn't explain why he could get use sonar.
And also, and I guess it is, it's because Batman is supposedly the world's greatest detective.
Not supposedly.
No, he is.
Is.
Definitively is. Edit point.
We're saying
no, it's fine. Keep it in. That it's supposed to be a sort of a visual shorthand to prove that he's the world's greatest detective. But notwithstanding that it's ridiculous,
yep.
I could have done that. If I had that machine, I could have done it. You could have done it. Listeners, you could have all done it.
No. I bet there's some people out there.
You're technophobic,
who
aren't you? Yeah.
I'm very technophobic. Mm. This intranet that you.
Was it? Interwebbles.
Interwebbles, that's right. That's a big call.
Yeah, they're okay.
They're okay.
But in the summer that produced The Dark Knight and Iron Man, if I'm watching a movie for fun, it's an Iron Man.
Yeah,
Iron Man, The Avengers. It's a Marvel movie, probably.
Do you know what people are going to say? They're going to turn and be like, you like Marvel more. You're a dickhead. You're a Marvel fanboy.
I'm okay with that.
You're a, you know, whatever. They'll call you names. And then they'll call me names.
Yeah.
And I can't have
that's
that, quite frankly.
That's what I'm backing
My self-esteem
on.
Cannot take it.
Guys, James made me say all that. You should tell it. You should but look, say
I,
horrible
I
names.
I think what you're saying, though, isn't... That's not uncommon for people to say that. Oh, you're definitely not the only person who said that. I think... If anything, I mean, I don't know how this Batman-Superman film is going to turn out, but I think it'll be interesting to see a more kind of comic booky Batman than what we've had so far.
I'd like it to be fun. That's all I want it about.
Would you like something closer to the Arkham games? That's what I would like.
I'd like that. I'd like something like the Avengers, where...
You love Marvel!
I know! I'm a Marvel fanboy! Oh, God. Yeah, I guess like the Arkham films, a little bit of colour.
Yeah.
A little bit of... Yeah. Oh, I just think it's
but you know what, though? Because of what is set up in Man of Steel, again, you haven't seen it because you love Marvel so much.
I love so much.
But it's, that's a pretty grim film. Mm. So it's what worries me, and I said this in one of my videos, that I don't know that the tone that they've set is it a very good one for future films. Because they've set it too dark from the start.
Yes.
And then it's just got to stay grim. And maybe that they're doing that on purpose because they're like, we're not like Marvel. We're serious. We're serious about our superheroes. You guys are dickheads. That's President of Warner Brothers talking.
Look, Superman doesn't have his underpants on the outside anymore. We're taking this deadly serious, gentlemen. Look, Batman has a ridiculous voice. We're taking this very seriously.
That's what I'm looking forward to, that is Bat voice. I'm going to see what he does.
Batfleck. Okay,
they're not going to do anything like that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we had 3 Batman movies.
Yeah.
And look, I'll forgive the first one.
Sure.
But surely in the second one, Lucius Fox could have handed him a little thing.
Yep.
And it could have tweaked his voice so it sounds like his normal voice, but with a little bit of a booming resonance.
That would be cool.
And he could have
been
like, thank God for that. That was murder in my throat. You know? I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore. We could have had a moment of levity,
but we didn't. There is somebody's made the argument, and I don't think this is actually true, that he does have that, and that's why his voice sounds like that. But I don't think that's true.
That's not true at all.
Because also, when he gets stabbed by, spoilers, Talia al Ghul, might as well.
Yeah.
That his voice kind of reverts back to Bruce Wayne briefly.
Oh, me guts!
Yeah, me guts. Just before he flies his nuclear weapon into the ocean or whatever happens at the end of that movie. But yeah, look, I'm glad those movies exist. I'm also glad they're finished because I don't think you can take it any further. I don't really want to see a Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Nightwing, Batman, Robin, whatever they may have done after that. I think it's good. It's all contained in the universe. It all makes sense. Believe it.
Forever. All right. I'm back in favor of reboots. Let's reboot this again. It's fine.
Here we go. How long do you think it should... We should probably do a podcast on reboots. But how long do you think between reboots they should wait? Spider-Man, they had to make a new one because that would have lost the rights.
Right, but that doesn't mean they should have.
But yeah, they're going to, though. They're not going to let that lapse.
Well, I guess so.
Even if they make a terrible Spider-Man movie, it's going to make minimum $500 million.
I mean, morally, they shouldn't have
rebooted. Oh, no, you're right. Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
From an ethical standpoint, they shouldn't have rebooted it. But
that's true. I can't really argue with that. Is there any other ones on the list that you've got? I made a brief mention of... Fantastic Four 2.
I was gonna mention that.
I think Fantastic Four 2 is better than Spider-Man 3, because I remember they came out the same year, or around the same time, and I remember enjoying to my surprise, because that first movie...
and horror.
Oh my god, that first movie is just... I'm not a fan of Fantastic Four, so what do I care if it's garbage?
Uh-huh.
No, I don't hate them, but I mean, like, if they... But it's just such a bad movie. And number two is kind of a little bit more fun. Chris Evans is really good because a lot of it's on him, the film. You know, he gets all the powers at the end. He punches Doom with the rock hands and whatever. And the Silver Surfer's quite good in it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that scene where he chases him through the city, and that's quite good.
Yep.
But it's not a good movie, and I'm glad they're rebooting it. You know who's doing it? The guy who did Chronicle. Joss Trank is directing it.
I haven't seen Chronicle.
What?
Oh, it's on my list. It's on my list, James. Full disclosure, listeners, I haven't watched any films, listeners.
You're just making educated guesses.
I just look at the poster and I sort of guess.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, boy, everybody sort of stands in a line in this movie, don't they?
They do. Most movies.
Sometimes you can see half a guy's face and half the other guy's face. It's a weird movie, wasn't it?
That's Face Off.
Yeah.
Face Off?
Yeah, okay, that's, yeah.
Nicolas Cage and John Travolta, two of our heroes.
They're on my family crest.
It's weird. Oh, yeah. Yeah, look, also I put down,
Can I go back to Fantastic Four for a second?
Oh, sorry, go on, yeah, before I move on.
I do feel, though, because I remember hating Fantastic Four 1,
yeah.
And then surprisingly enjoying
Fantastic Four 2. Yeah, that's exactly how I remember. I've only seen both of them once.
I do feel that maybe it's a kind of a Stockholm Syndrome, in the sense that the first one was so bad.
Yeah.
We
had very low expectations.
Yeah, our expectations were so low. I know that's not what Stockholm Syndrome is.
That's exactly what Stockholm Syndrome is. Stockholm?
Stockholm.
That's how you say it, yeah?
Yeah.
Holm.
I think our standards became so low that anything that wasn't...
Well, that's a good point, because going into Spider-Man 3, I know you didn't care, but I was like, I'm looking forward to this. Fantastic Four 2, I'm like, I shouldn't even be here.
Yeah.
That's what I felt like. And it was surprisingly not the worst.
Mm.
I put down Hulk, not because I like
it. The original Hulk?
Yeah, the TV show. No.
Bill Bixby.
Yeah. He's dead, for real.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lou Ferrigno's still alive, though, so there's that.
Oh, downer. Yeah. Double downer. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I like Lou Ferrigno. He's great.
He's deaf!
Oh.
Deaf-ish.
So many downers.
I know, right?
And end. No, I'm kidding.
But yeah, look, I know a lot of people don't mind this movie. I don't like it. I think Ang Lee I like Ang Lee. Oh. I think he's a great director. But he got that whole movie wrong.
Mm.
Even down to the point where... do you remember they had comic book panels in the actual movie?
Boy, do I ever.
Because it was like, oh, it's like a comic book, it's a comic book movie, so we'll put comic book panels in. And remember the bit where the guy makes the explosion and the cartoon explosion
that's
behind him?
Boy, do I ever.
I'm doing the explosion hands if you can't
see. Explosion hands, sure.
But, yeah, I think the Hulk in that, there's the one scene where he's in the desert, which is okay, I think. But other than that, there's the poodle bit where he fights the Hulk dogs.
Oh, the giant Hulk dogs.
Which isn't very good.
Yep.
There's the, end bit where he fights his drunk dad and his dad turns into a giant bubble and he absorbs all his energy.
But then he absorbs too much energy.
The lesson we all learned that day was.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't absorb energy.
So, one of the storylines of the Hulk Like
the movie or the...
No, the comic book series.
Okay, yeah.
When Peter David, writer of the Hulk, had the series, he did do a...
What specific year? Sorry.
Oh, God. After I was born, but before I died.
Okay, cool.
And he did do a storyline about the Hulk's multiple personalities being a result of sort of, you know, familial abuse.
Okay, that is
canon.
Yeah, I have no problem with any of that.
Yeah,
that's fine.
The problem being is that that was built on a solid foundation of 30 years of the Hulk just smashing things, just having a grand old time and just smashing the hell out of stuff.
He did have a good
and
time.
So there was room to build that character.
Yep.
It was time to add an extra dimension to that character.
Yeah. Yep.
I think a Hulk movie should just be, and I think I've mentioned this before, the Hulk movie should have been, the first one should have been, Eric Banner shows up at his gamma facility, clocks in, he opens the door, he's flooded with gamma radiation, then he's like, oh, I'm the Hulk! And then it's just 2 hours of him just throwing tanks at helicopters.
That would have been cool, but the budget would have been... Oh. I'm sure they're like, we can afford 4 Hulk scenes. You know what? They probably could have done more. But yeah. Also, people don't like the look of the Hulk in that one.
He's...
I mean, it's 2003 CGI, but I don't think it's that
He's quite bad. Rubbery.
He's rubbery, but you know, Ang Lee, for some reason, decided that he would do all the motion capture of the Hulk.
Brilliant.
Did you know that?
Yes.
Which is strange, because I don't think his physique and really matches that of the Hulk.
Ang Lee is green, though.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Yeah. But then again, not that Mark Ruffalo, Rufio.
Sure.
not that his matches it, but I just think... That's a very strange choice to make.
It really
is. A little bit self-indulgent.
I think when you compare the CGI of the first Hulk
and
Incredible Hulk and then Avengers Hulk, you know, it's...
Oh, yeah.
But again, it's the best they could have done.
That's true. But I don't like the look of the Incredible Hulk. I think that movie's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's weirdly ripped and he's a strange color green. And he's no kind of... I know he's supposed to be kind of... He looks...
He looks a bit grumpy, doesn't he?
He does look a bit grumpy. I didn't want to say it, but yeah, I don't think that. I think the Avengers, like the way that it's the best Iron Man movie, it's easily the best Hulk movie.
Of
like,
the two.
But yeah, of the three. Hulk, Incredible Hulk, Avengers.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and there's the 80s one with Bill Bixby. God rest his soul.
We miss him, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
But I was going to say something else. I can't remember. Yeah, but they're still. I think they're still struggling with what to do with the Hulk next, though, because they're not committing to a Phase 2 movie. There's no Hulk Phase 2 movie coming out.
So I don't think he can carry a film. I think Mark Ruffalo is great in everything.
I agree.
Mm. Even that movie where Reese Witherspoon is a ghost. Is that one of his?
Ghost Spoon.
Yeah, Ghost Spoon. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that is his movie. I've seen that movie.
Great.
That's a bad movie.
Okay, I forget I said anything. Edit point. Don't leave it in.
No, but he's good.
Yeah.
He's good. Suddenly 30.
Yep.
He's good in that movie.
Great.
You remember when Jennifer Garner was suddenly 30?
Yeah, I remember that.
Because the name of the movie relates to what happens directly in it. I don't know if you made that connection.
Magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
But, so people have been talking Planet Hulk. I don't think you could do that. I think if you just, like, send CGI Hulk to space and the whole thing's CGI aliens and in space and everything's CGI and there's no people in it, people are going to not like that, because they want to see people.
Yeah.
Well, not that they want to see people. I think it humanizes the character more if there are people around him and he himself turns into a person.
Yes.
Because I believe in Planet Hulk, he's the Hulk the whole time, right?
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
And also, I think that given that Marvel have Guardians of the Galaxy on the slate,
yeah.
I don't know if people are ready for 2 superhero movies set in space.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm not that ready.
No.
I'm ready-ish.
Let's panic. It's right in the streets.
Yeah.
Let's break some things.
But you know what? You know what else the Avengers now about the Hulk? And I'm sorry to bang on about the Avengers.
You're such a Marvel fanboy.
I'm such a Marvel fanboy.
This is a Marvel-centric podcast, guys. It's what we love. We love Marvel.
But they made the best use of him because it wasn't him running from the army. It wasn't him like, I'm misunderstood. It was like, here's a bunch of things that are happening that is affecting us directly. Point him in a direction. Go.
Yeah.
And then just smash everything. Uh-huh. That's how you got to use him. Use him like a weapon where you point him at something. You don't have him run from the army, then he smashes up a tank, and then his girlfriend comes up and goes, stop! Then he gets sad and changed back, and then they cuff him.
Yeah.
Like, that's crap.
It is.
And we've seen that too many times. Yeah. Maybe twice, but that's twice too many, quite
really
frankly.
Is.
Yeah. I was going to say, do you think Rufio, is better than Edward
Mario
Norton?
Rufio,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Do you think are you glad that they switched him out?
Yes.
Yeah. Me too. Initially, I was like, that's not a good idea, but in the end...
I hope he grows his hair back for Avengers 2.
Yeah, he looks really weird at the end of Iron Man 3,
really does.
Didn't he?
Yeah, don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they just got him in there like, are you free for 10 minutes?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, what are you wearing? He's like, this. And they're like, fuck it, let's go. Yeah. Like, I think that's how it happened. But yeah. I think that's pretty much it. We got anything else?
No. Oh, final thought.
Yep.
Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
Never seen it.
He pisses fire.
That's yeah. It. Have you that's, seen it?
Yeah, I've seen it.
I haven't seen that one. I got to see. Is that good?
Nah.
I've heard it's not good.
Better than the last one. The CGI is better.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty much it. So next time, I thought, and I haven't actually asked you this, so I'll ask you now. I thought maybe, because there's been a big push lately. Not there has always been a big push, but more so lately of adapting comic books into TV shows.
Yes.
I don't know if you heard. Well, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has started. Have you seen that yet?
I haven't seen it yet, but yeah. I will get to it ASAP.
I watched it. It's not bad. It's okay. Well, we'll talk about that later, but another point. But yeah, what I wanted to discuss the idea of adapting comic books into TV shows as opposed to movies, and what are the benefits of that?
I have many thoughts on that.
How many?
All the thoughts.
Okay, good. Well, yeah. That's good.
So, should I tell them all to you now?
Yeah.
I should maybe wait a week.
My voice is kind of, I need a drink.
Okay, she'll
come. But yeah. Oh, also, they just announced, I don't know if you've heard this, because you hate DC, so you might not know this.
Probably don't know it then, yeah.
But they're going to make a Commissioner Gordon TV series set before Batman.
Oh, who's going to be Commissioner Gordon? They haven't finalized anything yet?
I think they're getting, who played Commissioner Gordon in 1989 Batman?
No, they're not. They're not getting him. Pat Cadigan. They're not getting him.
No, they're not. That's his name. People are saying Bryan Cranston. But firstly, I don't think Bryan Cranston would do it for a TV show.
No.
Secondly, for a prequel Batman universe, he's too old.
Yes.
And I love Bryan Cranston.
I hope that they go the Smallville route.
Oh, God.
And they never say his name for 10 years.
Commissioner Gordon's
Yeah,
name.
Commissioner Gordon. They don't, yeah.
So then he's like...
And he doesn't grow the mustache for 10
like,
years.
Get on the com, James
Yeah, exactly.
Gordon.
Yeah, yeah.
So that, because they're like the comlink. Yeah. Comlink?
Yes.
The clicking thing that cops talk to each other on.
Handgun.
That's
tear
like,
gas?
Yeah. Tear gas, yeah. 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 So that's, so I thought maybe we could talk about that next
I'd
time.
Love to.
Cool. All right. Okay, so that's pretty much it. Do you want to plug your Twitter handle so people can abuse you on Twitter?
Nah.
You sure?
Oh, okay, fine. It's at Wikipedia Brown.
Yeah.
That's a very clever reference, sure. It's,
yeah. You know, I didn't get that when you first told me, because we don't get the Encyclopedia Browns in Australia, do we? And by that I mean I don't read books.
Yeah, that's pretty much the reason, sure.
Cool. Well, yeah, okay, mine is at Mr. Sunday Movies. You can also check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/ Mr. Sunday to Sunday. It's not a great name, and I regret picking it, but I can't really change it at this point. So that's life, isn't it?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
Just wait till you die. And then, you know.
Drift into an endless pit of nothingness.
I guess that's the key, isn't it? Cool. Yeah, just have fun with it, you know? Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys. See you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.